Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people think that starting their own company involves taking the leap, which means blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
I just cut half the intro out.
I see that. What happened?
I just, in a whim, decided that it doesn't make sense to campaign for you to share the show if you haven't heard the show yet. So I'm going to put that in later.
So new intro.
Yeah.
You going to type up a new intro this week?
No, I'm probably going to still use my old yellow intro thing.
I mean, I'm not saying that thing's disgusting, but it's like 4 years old, dude.
Yeah, it's nostalgic at
it's
this point.
It's fucking disgusting.
It is.
Print off a new one.
Nah.
It's not like you don't have time now that you're banned from the Book of Faces.
I'm not banned.
You're banned.
I'm
mostly banned.
I'm not banned.
Partially banned.
I am incurring reduced visibility. So apparently when you upset enough people on Facebook like I do, which is weird because I never break their rules, when you reply to a comment on a post, so we have a follower of the show that has a cleaning business in Warrensburg. And I commented on one of her posts that fentanyl absorbs into the skin easily. And that was enough to set off a whole shitstorm of activity for me. And my account is now not being shown to anybody. And that affects all of our businesses under my account, all of our groups under my account, and everything. And so, a little bit of it's censorship at its finest,
it's,
for sure.
It's ironic because I call a lot of people gay retard on there.
Yeah.
But no one apparently knows who I am on Facebook. Like, I don't have a following, so it just all goes kind of under the rug.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a complete fucking asshole to people.
Yep.
Nothing. The world doesn't even know I exist.
Yeah.
I'm just a fucking nobody.
Yep.
And I kind of like it that way.
Yeah.
It's the way to live, man. It's a good clean life.
Yeah. So we're working through it, and I'm learning. I already know a lot about how Facebook works, but I've learned so much more in the last 5 days of how Facebook works than I've learned in the last 2 years.
I hate Facebook. I mean, I hate to say that I hate Facebook because it's
a necessary evil.
I like to be able to see what people I care about are doing.
Yeah.
How their life is going. It feels like you don't have to call them every week and be like, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's kind of a nice, you know, connection there.
Yeah.
But it feels so disconnected at the same time.
Yeah.
That I just loathe it.
Yeah.
Loathe it. That's the best way to say it.
Yeah. It's a love hate for sure. So,
yeah.
If you guys follow me on Facebook, you know that I have the blue check.
The blue check
used to be the status that like celebrities and politicians would have, and the blue check earned you some extra protections. And so then they made the blue check available for purchase for the public for $15 a month. And I bought it because we had a growing YouTube channel at the time. We had a podcast at the time, and there was ample reason for me to think that somebody might spoof my profile and try to take advantage of my following. Well, $15 a month is pretty cheap insurance to protect that from happening. And so I bought the blue check. Well, I've now learned that the blue check is absolutely useless. It doesn't do anything.
No shit.
And if you want everything that the blue check promised 2.5-3 years ago, if you want that today, it costs $500 a month.
And I'm good.
And you can see, like, you can go to your Facebook profile and you can look at verified profiles, and they have several different options to pick from. And their top option, the list of everything that's included in their top option, is what was included in the original blue check. And it went from $15 a month to $500 a month.
What I don't understand.
For verification and account protection.
I mean, I shouldn't say this. I do know why. It's a money grab, right?
Absolutely.
But how much money do you think they're making off of ads already?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like, I am not anti-capitalism, okay?
Yeah.
I say make what you can make, right? But God, like, at what point do you start feeling bad for literally fucking people out of money?
All I'm going to say is that I've had some private I have a friend of mine who is a subcontractor for Meta, and on their support team. She doesn't work for Meta. She's her own company.
Yeah, the people that work for Meta can't fucking help you, so you got to have a subcontractor.
Yeah. And all of their customer support has flipped over to AI bots. Even when you ask for a real person, you don't get a real person. They'll tell you, you know, oh, Alicia is now on the line, and Alicia is just a better AI bot. It's like
she's version 3.0 instead of 2.5.
It's like they flip from Chat GPT to Claude. It's like all it is. But
did I say that yesterday? That's good stuff.
but they basically. I got to watch what I say here because I was told that I can't repeat some of what we talked about. But if you look into how Bill Gates made all of his money with Microsoft, it wasn't selling you Microsoft that he made all of his money. So Facebook is trending in that direction. That's all I'll say. And if you want to do a little bit of research and learn where Bill Gates made most of his money.
I want to give the answer, but that's okay. I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to let you look that up on your own. So
you're no fun.
I know.
Fucking
but,
no fun at all.
I did get a solid piece of advice from her, and this is great advice for everybody. This is the type of advice that you get by being a Tradewinds member, too. She did tell me that as she's looking into my accounts and trying to fix all these problems and everything else, she said, I see that one of your businesses is running an ad at $150 a week on this ad. And maybe we're not even $150 a week. Maybe we're $150 a month. I can't remember. But
I think it's $150 a week.
Okay.
But it doesn't hit that.
Doesn't hit it.
It hits like $100 every week and a half.
Yeah.
Or something. $112 or week and a half.
So she said that is a stupid tax and it's a desperation tax. And that is Meta just cash grabbing from businesses that only want to dip a toe in the marketing water. And she said that, if you're not spending $150 a day on Meta ads, you may as well save your money because you're not getting anything out of it. Meta knows what accounts are bots and what accounts aren't. And anybody that's spending less than $150 a day, there's a good chance that only the bots are seeing your accounts. But that gives them statistics. Or only seeing your ads. The bots are seeing your ads. But that gives them statistics and analytics to show you that 13,000 people saw this post. 13,000 accounts. But they're not real accounts.
How the fuck is that legal?
I don't know.
How can they say, okay, we'll show your ads to people that could buy your services, because we know bots aren't buying services.
Yeah.
And then charge you for it knowing.
They're not saying they're going to show your accounts to people that could buy your services. They're saying they're going to show your ads to accounts that fit the demographics you select.
How is that not fucking illegal?
I mean, look at what Twitter was doing. Before Musk bought Twitter.
God bless Elon Musk.
Over half of the accounts in Twitter were bots. And then they were used, you could run ads on Twitter. So this...
I don't...
If you're wondering why all marketing agencies are shady... Look at where it starts. It starts at the top.
We're going to get on to a whole
The top marketing agencies out there are absolute bullshit. Meta, X, I'm sure YouTube, right? All of that shit is bots. Have you ever seen a video of a bot farm?
Yes. It's a little 800 square foot house, and it's essentially it's Unistrut every 1 foot on the wall. And then there's these little clips in the Unistrut that hold a fucking cell phone like this.
Yeah.
And it's holding it up, and it's just watching videos.
And chargers and power strips all over the place. And there's 10,000 phones in this house strapped to the wall.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
And those are 10,000 accounts, all of which go into your analytics. Oh, your video was viewed 10,000 times by cell phones taped to a wall in a crack house.
Let me ask you a serious question. How do we get one of those crack houses to watch our videos on YouTube for this podcast?
Why would we want one of those crack houses to watch our videos?
So fucking YouTube sends us some money. That's fucking why. For money, Mitch. God damn it. Money.
The money ain't that great.
I know, but I could just use a little bit.
I have a very well-performing plumbing YouTube channel, and the money ain't that great.
I just need a little bit of cash. You know, I'm just a little bit. Please.
But
I got to come over here and listen to you every week. It's painful. Just a little bit of cash.
The stuff that I'm going through on my Facebook account is so wild that, like, all of those conspiracy things that you thought, like, Hollywood, government agency type stuff, that you're like, surely that doesn't really happen. No, it abso-fucking-lutely happens. And it's happening to me right now.
I told you not to start that fucking tax group, dude.
Absolutely happens.
The government's like, you know who this Mitch is? You know who this Mitch Smedley is? We're gonna fuck with this guy.
Yeah.
For like 6 months.
And so...
I'm over here just taking collateral fucking damage.
Outside of that, just learning what I've learned in trying to clean up all the damage, learning how the ad spend works, learning how the insights work for your engagement and all of this shit, like, I'll just tell you this. The only sales you're making through social media are when you have a conversation with a person. You are making sales one person at a time. And it's from one conversation at a time. You are not going to sell water heaters in your plumbing company by boosting a water heater ad for $15 a day. You're not going to sell a water heater off of that, because the only people seeing that are bots. Now, when you jump into a conversation on a community group, or you jump into a conversation with somebody on your main Facebook page or your business Facebook page, and you exchange several sentences back and forth and you give them a little bit of value, you will make a water heater sale. But that's how you have to do it. You're making sales one sale at a time, one person at a time.
Yeah, it's almost like old school door knocking is back.
Yes.
And you just start doing it
digital door knocking.
It's
right?
Fucking insane to me.
But anything else that exchanges your time for money in the marketing world is stealing your money and not giving it to anybody other than the marketing agency or the marketing outlet. So the agency or like Yelp, Angie's Leads, and all this stuff. Shit, we had an Angie's Leads one. This isn't the topic of the show, by the way. The topic of the show is actually about Tradewinds. But
maybe
we're diving in our plumbing company. We're diving into Angie's Leads, and the new marketing agency that we're working with, they're wanting to give Angie's Leads a shot. Well, I went and played a customer yesterday on Angie's Leads. I fired up my irrigation system in my yard. I've got two heads that need replaced. I'm going to replace them. I'm absolutely not going to pay somebody to replace two sprinkler heads.
I have like 10 at my house. You can have for free if you need a couple.
Are they the Rainbird rotators?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll send you a picture.
All right.
Disregard. Move on.
So I'm like, hey, let's be a real customer. And so I go to Angie's Leads and I type in irrigation repair. And the next prompt is, how soon are you looking to make a purchase? And I said, immediately, within the next 1 to 3 days. And so then you have to give it your name, address, and phone number so it knows what people are in your market and it knows how to get them in contact with you, right?
Yeah.
And all this is for free. It's not costing me as a consumer anything. Well, then the very next screen, it goes to giving me one suggestion for an irrigation company. Just one. Would you like to get a quote from this company? And it doesn't give you an option to say no. And so I back out of the whole thing. So I went
it
from
it didn't give you a list to choose from. It just gave you one.
One.
That person was paying for that lead.
Paying for
or
the spot.
Was on the top of that spot.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And the whole purpose of Angie's Leads is we'll give you options for, like, as a consumer, right? So they're lying to consumers and they're also lying to contractors. But as a consumer, it's fill out all of our stuff and we'll show you several qualified contractors in your area to pick from. They didn't. They gave me one.
Well.
So I had to back out of the whole thing.
Well, they're in their defense, maybe they only had one
absolutely
business
not.
Signed up. No?
Nope.
You don't know that?
Because
you
I backed
know
out.
That?
I do know that now.
Okay.
I backed out of the whole thing. I said, no, I didn't want one. I wanted to go pick. Right?
Yeah.
And so I back out of the whole thing. I literally just abandon the page and close it out. But now they've already got all my info, and they already know what service I want.
Ugh.
And so now I've received, this was just yesterday afternoon. I've received two texts and two emails that are the same. The text and the email are identical. But it's like, hey, we noticed you left without picking a contractor. Here's more contractors to pick from.
Bitch.
Right?
Yeah.
And so at the same time, we... in our plumbing company are having access to run leads or to get leads from Angie's. And there's three different lead categories that you're going to get. One is an actual lead. Somebody has picked your company only, and they want you to reach out to them for this service. And you're paying a premium for that, $75 to $100 just to get a customer's phone number to try to set up a service call. Okay. The next category are people that have left it out to the masses. And then they, then Angie's Leads goes to all their list of contractors in that area that perform that service and say, hey, this person was interested. We'll sell you their info for $75 or $49 or whatever.
I wonder if we could start an Angie's.
I'm going to interrupt this real quick for a message from Field Pulse. They are the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It'll run your CRM, which is your customer relationship management system. It'll handle your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll provide you good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and it will even incorporate the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates into software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, it keeps your team organized, and it gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has a 4.8 rating across over 600 Google reviews. So to learn more, head down to the link in the description of this show and schedule your, what do you want to call it, discovery call with Field Pulse and learn how it'll help you. We absolutely could. It's fucking easy.
I'm saying.
But so then we had two. So that's category number two. Category number three is like this person's looking for sprinkler repair, and they just want contractors to call them. Category two was like you were selected amongst the list of contractors they would like calls from.
Okay.
Category three is like absolute garbage. Ignore the fuck out of them because it's just not going to work. So we had two in our category two column. And so I was sitting next to our CSR, my wife, as she outbounded these calls. The first one we didn't even outbound because it's in our no-go zone. It's in the ghetto of Kansas City. Yeah. For which one, they wanted excavation work.
Oh, you don't want to work down there, excavation.
We choose to avoid being licensed in the city of Kansas City, Missouri because it's a fucking cash grab. And it's just a bullshit thing.
Yeah.
We could
talk about that for an hour.
Yeah. Just so people know, we're licensed everywhere in every other city in the KC metro area except Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, they charge you an independent, an extra tax for work performed there.
Yeah, they want 1% of every revenue dollar you turn simply by being licensed in Kansas City, Missouri.
It's fucking horseshit.
And in addition to that, they want to take 1% of every employee's dollar they make.
Yeah.
And so I'm not subjecting our employees to that. I'm not giving them 1% because they don't know how to run a city.
It's bullshit.
So screw it.
Quentin Lucas can kiss my
bloop, beep, bitty, beep. So it was in our no-go zone. We declined that one. Okay. So now we're left with one other like mid-tier lead. Danielle calls the person. The person answers the phone by screaming at Danielle because we were the umpteenth contractor that's called her for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. They've been selling her lead for 2 weeks.
She's not even the person who submitted it.
Oh, brutal.
It's a wrong number.
Dude, hey, I just figured out how to mess with people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what's your home number?
Yeah. Oh, I got a couple other numbers I'd give out. But so all of that happens.
Shit.
And it's like, okay, well, Angie's Leads is a joke, right? Now their direct leads, they seem to be okay. But all these other ones are a joke.
Seem to be okay.
It's ironic.
Fairly vague.
No, a qualified lead is still like there's a difference between a qualified lead and an exceptional lead.
Yeah.
And there's no service out there where you're like, I want to buy the exceptional leads.
No.
Right?
You want a qualified lead?
And so a qualified lead is somebody who needs service that's in our service area. That's a qualified lead.
Those are decent.
Right. So of the two mid-level ones, one's not in our service area, not a qualified lead. The other one was the wrong fucking number, not a qualified lead. Right? Now, the others are actual qualified leads.
Got it.
And so...
I follow.
And so when we had first set up with Angie's Leads... We gave them like a weekly budget or a monthly budget for leads, and they were giving us a ton of leads. And then all of a sudden it shut off, and we were like, why? We hit our monthly budget.
Yeah. Oh.
So they just quit giving us leads.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but also our phone was like literally half of the phone calls we were getting. There was either nobody on the other end of the line or it was somebody who spoke a foreign language that we couldn't even understand what they wanted or if they even wanted plumbing.
Well, don't you know, Mitch, it's your, you have to have a CSR that speaks five languages.
Yeah, right.
Don't you fucking know that?
I'm not in Minnesota. I don't need to speak Somali. Right.
And you're not getting that for $17, $20 an hour. Either.
Right. Like, so, yeah, roundabout way to say all marketing agencies are absolute bullshit. That includes Angie's Leads. That includes Yelp. So to think that you're going to solve all your business woes by going through these agencies, you're not. So will they help fill a gap? Maybe. Will they help fill a slow time? Maybe. They are not the answer to your problems. The answer to your problems is branding. Brand the fuck out of your company. Brand so well that when the customer does need your services, they go to Google or chat or whatever, and they say, who's a good plumber near me? Because you've branded it so well, they still don't remember you because, let's be honest, you don't remember home service companies that you call once every 3 years.
No.
And so brand it so well that one, when they are on the search, they recognize your brand and they feel comfortable calling you. That's how you grow a service company. That's how you get organic leads. And organic leads are the ones that pay the most money. So
yeah,
enough about that rant.
I will say just one thing about Yelp. We do know someone that's on the West Coast that had a great deal of success with Yelp.
Yeah.
But those are far and few between stories.
Well,
they
also,
just are.
Here's what it takes to be successful on Yelp. You can't charge a service charge. So if you're in an area that charges a service charge,
no, you,
you can
be.
Kiss Yelp goodbye.
Yeah.
Anybody can sell a lead that costs the customer nothing.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
If the customer does, like in the Midwest, we charge service charges. We make the customer have skin in the game before I roll a six-figure earner in a $170,000 truck out to their house. I'm not doing that for free. You're going to pay me $89 just to ring your doorbell.
Yeah.
You're buying time on my schedule.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you're on the coast, a lot of the coasts don't charge service charges. Well, then anybody's fair game because you're not charging service charge. So, are they willing to pay the service charge? That goes into, are you a qualified lead? If you're not willing to pay the service charge, yeah, you're not our ideal customer,
yeah,
right? But over there on the coasts, nobody wants to charge service charges, which I don't know why. If I were home service companies on the coast, I would call all the home service companies together and be like, hey, fuck this. These customers are taking advantage of us. They're abusing our time, talents, and energy for free trip charges. So let's all just start charging service charges.
Yeah, and I think that's a population thing too.
Could be.
As far as population density thing. We have a guy in Tradewinds who's in New Orleans, who he charges a service fee and collects it before.
Yeah, he runs your card before you even
the fucking call.
Yeah, you pay for the service fee to book the call.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's when he said that, I was like, dude, what?
Yeah.
There's no way that works. He's like, yeah. He's like, we don't even get that much kickback. He goes, and now I know when I go there,
they're gonna
I'm
be there.
Probably gonna sell work. They're gonna be there.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna have any issues.
Yeah.
And he closes like a crazy percentage on his tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have customers calling in and booking service calls and then they're not there when you show up, I can almost guarantee you're not charging service charges. So, they don't have any skin in the game.
Especially up front.
Yeah. So, enough with that rant.
Are you okay?
Today's show.
You need to take a breath?
Oh, no, we're good.
You okay?
We are golden.
Somebody's mad at Facebook still.
Eh.
I
don't
want
to say I'm mad. I'm enlightened.
No, you're mad as fuck.
Now, I'm mad about the future of Facebook. I'm not mad at Facebook right now today, but I'm mad about the future of where it's going based off of what I've learned over the last few days.
Yeah.
So now, did I see this coming? Yeah, you always knew it was going to get really expensive.
Dude, I'm still waiting for somebody to make a new Facebook.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Problem is, anytime anybody comes close, Facebook just buys them and absorbs them in. They can't turn down the billions or trillions of dollars, and Facebook just absorbs them. So, but the topic of today's show
makes me so
is
mad.
we don't really talk like we talk passively about Tradewinds every now and then, but today's show is literally a big commercial for Tradewinds where you're going to get some free game along the way. But we're going to talk about what we do in Tradewinds, what we do at the different levels, what we do on this podcast, what our products are in Tradewinds, and everything else. So First and foremost is this podcast. If you are newly listening to this podcast, the most important episodes for you to listen to are episodes 1 through 9 and 36. When I say they're the most important, that does not discredit all the other shows that we have.
Maybe.
But 1 through 9 is we drop a six-step process for exactly how to start your company and get it to a very healthy level. It is the exact process I did when I started my company. Keep in mind, I started my company in August of 2020, and I sold my company in September of 2025. So I owned my company for 61 months and sold it. And so if you want the exact playbook for how I started my company and grew my company, that is in episodes 1 through 9. A lot of people would ask me, wow, you're pretty brave giving everybody all your secrets. It's easy to do because most people are too fucking lazy to do the work. Most people are also too proud of themselves to think they've already done the work. They're easy, too lazy to do it, or they lie to themselves and they say, well, I'm already good at that. I've already done that. And their results are not the results that we talk about looking for in those episodes. So episodes 1 through 9 goes over the six steps that you need.
Yeah.
There are three episodes in there that are strictly on processes. It's boring. It's you know, one third of the opening episodes, but processes are what will grow your company.
Like, if you want meat and potatoes, those are those episodes.
Yeah. And it's 10 hours of content. It's over 10 hours of content.
It's not even that much. Like, it's 10 hours, right? Which is a lot, and there's a lot of information in there.
Just watch it on 1.5 speed and roll.
Yeah, 1.25 is easy.
Yeah.
And you can literally watch it two or three times and understand. And, you know, you were saying this is exactly how I built my business, blah, blah, blah. Tradewinds has been 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
3 years almost. March 3rd of 23 was when we started Tradewinds.
Yeah.
There has been hundreds of people start their business by just those nine, through just those first nine episodes.
Yeah.
Some of them have come through Tradewinds.
Thousands of people.
Some of them have come through Tradewinds. Some of them we just hear, hey, thank you so much. I started my business. I went through the plan.
Yeah.
I did it, blah, blah. They're not in Tradewinds. That's fine too. We don't care. The process, the things we talk about, it works.
Yeah.
I don't want to say bulletproof, but it's almost bulletproof.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that, and I have a lot of conversations with people through Facebook Messenger and everything else, and I'm unlocked on all that shit. Like, if you guys ever want to shoot me a message, you just shoot me a message on Facebook Messenger. There's not a single person that has shot me a message where I've left them on read. There's not a single person where I've ghosted. If anything,
you got a problem and talk to them too much.
Well, yeah, no, that's totally true.
100%.
But if anything, it would be somebody that I'm not Facebook friends with, and it snuck in on my message suggestions or message requests. And sometimes Facebook is horrible about notifying me of requested messages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or email us.
Yeah, or you can email us. Our emails are literally in the description of this show. You just scroll down in the description.
Yeah, it's right there. Click on it.
Click on our email and go. But, I mean, I am an open book. I will share all of my secrets with anybody. They're not secrets. This stuff, like, it wasn't a secret when I learned it, and it's not a secret when I retell it for how I applied it to the plumbing company.
No.
Episode 36 is my exact playbook for how to get Google reviews, and you're gonna need 200 to 400 Google reviews as fast as you can to look legitimate in your new company. And guys, if you're listening to this show and you've got 13 Google reviews, I know you're proud of them, but the public doesn't give two shits about a company with 13 Google reviews.
No.
That looks sketchy as hell.
Dude, even
because they know you have 13 family members.
Even if you come up first on LSA, I've seen this. Look, you know, Googling other things. The first person up there has 13.
Yeah.
And the third person has 1,000. Because they're not paying as much for Google LSA, I still click on the person with 1,000.
Yeah.
And I vet them first.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a natural thing to do. Why do you think Amazon is so great?
Yeah, the reviews.
Partly because of their review platform.
Yeah.
Because
do you want this product with a 4.9 rating and 400 reviews, or do you want this product with a 4.8 rating and 5,000 reviews?
Yeah.
I'll take the 5,000, please.
Yeah.
right? It's proof
not,
of concept.
It's not fucking rocket science.
Right.
So what Mitch says when he says you got to get to 200 or 300 to look legit, it's 100% true. And I'm not 100% sure yet, but I think that number's up now.
It could be.
You know, you really probably need to be between that $300 and $500 range, $500 review range where people are like, okay, this guy's been in business, quote unquote, a long time.
Right.
Even though it may not be a long time.
Right. And when I talk about those Google reviews in episode 36, it is not like, oh, you can get these Google reviews if you kind of want to or whatever. It is what it is it's a process that I teach you in episode 36 for how to get Google reviews. And it becomes the way that you run every service call from that day forward. There is never a point where you're okay with the number of Google reviews. You're not okay until a certain couple hundred. But then from that point on, you still need new ones every day. Which, by the way, Google is currently removing reviews right now. We've been stuck at the same number of reviews. And even though we're getting more every day, we've been stuck at the same number for a while.
Why are they pulling reviews again?
I don't know.
It seems like they do this once a year.
It's probably even more. It's like once every 6 to 9 months, probably.
Ugh.
But there's a reinstatement play that I need to go run where we get them all back. You can petition Google and get them all back. So
what are the chances, I'm putting you on the spot, that you know what episode we talk about that play in?
I could probably research it and get that episode pretty quick.
I cannot remember.
So we did talk about the reinstatement play on the show.
Yeah.
And here in a little while, I'll look it up and give you guys the episode number where we talk about it.
Or I can just put it in the description too, if you want to do that.
Yeah, there you go. There's a link.
You can get me the information.
Yeah, there is. We'll do that. There is a link. If you're watching Google Reviews Disappear, there'll be a link in the description of this show. And it takes you to a website that it does. This does not cost you a dime. And this website has nothing to sell you for this information. But it will take you to a website and it will tell you step by step by step exactly how to get them back. And keep in mind, Google, much like Facebook, they run everything through AI. All other support is through AI. And so you have to break through the AI. And so your first inquiry is going to be responded with some AI BS response. And then you go back and this teaches you the phrase that you need to reply with to break through the AI and get the results that you're looking for. So, but getting hundreds of Google reviews will help significantly. Goes back to what I was just saying in the beginning 20 minutes of this show. Build your brand. Your brand is what will build your business. To think that you're going to go buy leads, you're going to spend so much money on advertising, you will not make money.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
We have a TradeWinds client right now that their net profit percentage for last year was 0.3%. Why? Because they were spending 10% of their income on Google PPC leads and getting them nowhere.
Not their marketing budget, just on
10%.
PPC.
They're a $1 million plus company. And they were spending over $100,000 a year on Google pay per click, and it was doing nothing for them.
Blech.
Home service companies, quick PSA.
Don't do PPC.
If you don't sell from your website, don't do PPC. Google pay per click is for companies that sell globally and companies that sell nationally from their website. Okay? That's why you see Amazon show up in Google PPC results. That's why you see Etsy show up in Google PPC results. You see eBay show up there. Any other sites that sell to the public. Car parts stores. What's the Rock Auto? Rock Auto will show up in PPC. Okay? They sell directly from their website. If you sell out of a service truck, PPC is a giant waste of money. And there is only one very unique condition where you would ever need to spend money on PPC, and it ain't much. We're talking $150 a month. So don't let anybody If your marketing agency is telling you that you need to be investing in PPC, fire them. And that may sound
tough.
You don't
have to fire them. No. But you can literally look at them in the eye and say, I'm not paying for PPC. And then if they say no, the only way we can make this work is if you do, then fire them.
I say fire them without even warning, because they've been duping you for so long, making you waste money in PPC for so long. They're the marketing experts. They should know that if you sell services out of the back of a truck, PPC is useless.
Yeah.
So
ish.
If they've been stringing you along for 6 months and this is the first you've heard that you shouldn't spend a dime on PPC, fire that motherfucker. Keep in mind, 85% of marketing agencies are absolute garbage. They do not have any other interest other than their own profit and loss statement. That is it. You are a number to them. You are cash flow to them. You are income to them. They do not care about your business performance, and that's proven whenever they suggest you should run PPC.
Yeah.
So
the only way that we have seen any validity in PPC is that you rank in the top three of PPC in a certain category, and it helps a customer feel good that you've shown up in more than one location. But there's no way to antiquate that. There's no way to prove ROI on that. That's just from experience. I've seen X, Y, and Z happen when I go and Google, you know, where do I get my lawnmower fixed? And in the first three that pop up are LSA. There's a company in there. And then the next three down is the PPC campaign. And I see them come up there. I do trust that, hey, I've seen them twice, right? So that's fantastic. I am going to call them first, or I'm going to at least try to vet them first.
Yeah.
But in the home service-based industry, even if that is happening, there's no way for you to prove that it's helping you.
Right.
It's almost impossible to navigate the ROI in that situation. Thank you. Number 107.
Episode 107 is where we talk about how to get your Google reviews back. And obviously, we're still going to put the link to how to do it in this show.
I will do it.
But if you want to read the whole play about it, it's in episode 107. So
I'll post it in there, buddy. Thank you.
The PPC, if you're going to run PPC, it's a branding play, just like what David was saying. You're helping your brand set in their mind.
And yeah, so that way,
when they're on the hunt, when their toilet breaks and they're frantic and they're searching for plumbers, keep in mind, there is no home service company out there that can brand themselves so well that people are like, oh, I hope my toilet breaks today so I can call this company. Like, when the event happens that they need to call you, their mind goes blank. They go chaotic, and they go to Google, or they go to chat.
Yep.
And so you just need your brand to resonate well enough that when they go to Google, they're familiar and comfortable with calling you. The only other time you would ever spend some money in PPC, and this is the same, like, it's the same play with PPC. It's a branding play, but sometimes when Google sees you spend a little bit of money with PPC, it'll help your Google LSA performance on the back end, not even on the front end of the brand recognition from the customer, but Google will help show your LSA ads a little bit more if you're a good steward of Google and you spend just a little bit of money on PPC.
Yeah.
We're talking like the only time you would ever spend money on PPC is when you've exhausted all of other opportunities and you have money left over in your marketing budget.
Yeah, and you're just tagging
keywords. And then you're shooting up some PPC just a little bit there. But that's it.
Yeah, for you guys, it's not worth doing. If you're going to do it, what do we say all the... Well, just plumbing, for example. Water heater repair, emergency plumbing, drains.
Maybe
the only three keywords that you run.
Yeah.
That's it. Because let's be honest, those are big ticket items.
Yeah.
And so if you are running LSA and those two are working together and someone needs a drain repair and you're in the top three of both of those categories, it might.
Yeah.
And I say might heavily be worth it.
The big risk with pay-per-click, that is PPC. If you guys didn't understand what PPC stands for, it's an acronym for pay-per-click. In other words, you're giving Google a few dollars every time somebody clicks on your website through that keyword that you purchased for those that you agreed to purchase. So think about it. If I pay Google dollars every time somebody clicks on my site and I can't control who's clicking on my site and from where, well, my competitors could click on my PPC ads and totally destroy my PPC budget, and it's not real people.
Yeah.
So PPC is opens yourself up to being having your money stolen from you through competition.
Yeah.
And so, and if you don't think that happens, it absolutely happens.
The big competitors, they do it.
Big competitors will literally have their CSRs in the office during the downtime.
Yeah.
Go Google these terms and go click on all the companies except ours.
Yeah.
And just click on them and then leave, and then click on them and then leave, and click on and stay for 3 seconds and then leave. And that's all they're doing. Yep. And they're just running up your PPC budget.
Well, they're burning your budget so that when your budget's out, you're no longer showing.
Yeah.
And they know that our budget is higher than theirs, and so ours will take their place.
I'll say this. I used to work for a company that would go through, like we're in the Midwest area, sump pumps are a big thing. They were ruthless. And they would do PPC because they had the leftover money and the budget to do it. And days before, like 2 days, 1 day before a big rain, they would have their CSRs in the office, Google sump pump repair near me, sump pump replacement near me, and they would burn up everyone's budget on PPC ads for sump pumps the days before a rain.
And then their budget went up the day of the rain.
So now the day of the rain,
yeah,
when everybody's actually calling
That's
for sump pumps,
shit,
they're getting all the calls. And they would get 80 or 90 or 100 yeah, phone calls every day it rained really big. It's crazy.
Keep it gangster, John.
So they would get so much lead flow coming in that I was buying sump pumps by the pallets in the days leading up to the rain because I knew we would go through them.
Jesus.
So, yeah, a pallet of sump pumps, a lot of sump pumps.
Yeah.
Especially when you're buying multiples.
What's a pallet? 30?
Depends on the size.
50?
24 to 36, usually, on a pallet. And I'm buying 4 and 5 pallets at a time.
Was a sump pump back then $120 a whack? Probably not that much for you.
Oh,
guys.
Cost?
Yeah, cost.
Yeah, $120 to $150.
Somewhere in there.
So,
and you guys,
but then you're selling them for $600 to $800
yeah,
to put in. So, yeah.
Do I have to be a master plumber to install sump pumps?
Yeah, probably.
But give me the truth, Mitch.
I mean, they sell them at Home Depot, so go buy you one.
I'm talking about, I'm just going to start a sump pump company, and all we do are sump pumps.
Yeah, you could.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do I need to have my master's? You know what? I know a guy.
Yeah, there you go. So
where are we
essentially
at?
This podcast delivers you information for free. There's a thing in business that says the information is free, but the implementation is going to cost you. And it's not a ruthless saying. It's a very accurate saying. The information is absolutely free. Between ChatGPT and YouTube and Grok and Claude and all the others.
And this podcast
and all the other pieces where you can get information out there, the information is free. There is literally nothing you can't accomplish in the world without the free information that's available on the internet. You want to launch a rocket into orbit? There's enough free information to do that. You want to perform your own appendectomy? There's enough...
No, we do not condone you doing that.
I'm not saying you should.
I'm just making it very fucking clear.
But what I'm saying is there is enough research papers and white papers and articles and theses and all of these things out there that are published on the internet to where if you chose to school yourself up, you can buy all the supplies yourself online. If your family member, and again, I'm using this as an extreme example.
If your family member
needed an appendectomy, you could totally do it in your home with supplies that you purchase online and knowledge that you gain online. There is literally nothing you can't do in this world without free information from the internet.
Do you think that we could cut you open and I could take out your appendix?
I mean, I've seen you bury a knife into your thigh. I don't want you using a knife around me.
I'm just saying... Maybe we could make a fuck.
You about
money.
Broke your leg cutting wood. What? I don't
Dude,
want you cutting
you
up on me.
See that fucking bruise? It is horrible. What if? Hey, what if it's for the good of the show?
I mean, sure.
Do you know how many views we would get if I cut you open?
I'm sure we'd probably get
pulled your appendix out.
Yeah, we'd probably get federally indicted for something.
Why? If I have you sign a waiver and you say yes, let's do it.
Because now we're not licensed medical professionals performing medical practices on people that aren't in our family, and for the purpose of clicks and views, yeah.
You think it's shady?
Yeah.
You think it's too shady? Fine.
Yeah. But literally,
so, you know what? You're no fun anymore.
So like TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, hormone replacement therapy, that is a very common thing for telehealth things. Okay. There is a guy that's currently right now getting busted. You can look up this on any social media platform.
Uh-oh.
This guy, now one of the, I can't remember his name. Somebody predicted this was going to happen. But this guy used ChatGPT and AI to create like 50 plus fake doctor profiles on social media. And they had fake credentials. And then he was able to use those fake profiles and fake credentials to get licensed for telehealth. And then he has one of the larger telehealth companies out there, and he's currently like shut down.
I love the spirit. I mean,
right.
Damn.
So what I'm getting at is he created that out of nothing, out of just information for free on the internet. Okay? So I recently, within the last 6 months, had to go to a courtroom and battle some erroneous charges. I didn't use a lawyer. I self-represented myself, and I got off scot-free, and the other guy actually got reprimanded. Didn't need it. He had a big, fancy, expensive attorney. I didn't, because I used information that's free on the internet. Okay? So what I'm saying is you don't need to pay for the information. What you need to pay for is if you're having trouble processing how to implement this information. If you're having trouble saying, okay, I get the information, but how does that line up with my situation? If you're having trouble analyzing even what's going wrong in your situation, that's where you would pay for services, okay? Yeah. In other words, let's say I'm adventurous at DIY, but water and electricity scare me, okay? And my water heater goes out. All the information is there.
Yep.
I could go to Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards.
I could buy a water heater.
I could buy everything I need. Yeah. I could go through YouTube video after YouTube video, and I could learn exactly how to do it. Now, some of those videos are less than credible. I might learn how to build a freaking bomb instead of install a water heater, right? Because
there's a lot of fucked up
shit
on the internet. There's
some bad information out there. But still, if you can pilfer through all that information, you have access to replace your own water heater. But maybe electricity and water scare me. Maybe my time is worth more than what this would cost for me to have installed, okay? So now the implementation is going to cost you. Yes, I could do all this at my own time, but I'm willing to pay a plumber to replace my water heater for me. I want the peace of mind. I want my time back. I'm at work. I would love to have hot water by the time I get home, all of these kinds of things. The implementation is what you pay for, okay? So number one thing in plumbing is you're branding your company. Give the information away for free. You're not guarding anything. Teach your customers how to plunge their own toilet. Teach your customers how to replace their own toilet flapper through videos on the internet. You will win them over and they will call you for the big shit.
Yeah.
If you lose them through that video, they were gone before they saw your video because they were going to find somebody else's video for how to rebuild their own toilet and how to replace their toilet flapper.
Yeah.
So they were never your customer to begin with if you think you could lose them through that video. But
agreed.
So how TradeWinds works is TradeWinds is the implementation to all the information we talk about on this show. Okay? We could tell you on this show about how to read a P&L. But if you look at your P&L and it's clicks and whistles and it's hieroglyphics and it doesn't mean shit to you, well then you join TradeWinds. And we will literally screen share with your screen on your P&L, and we'll dive into it and show you exactly what everything means.
Yeah.
We'll show you how to organize it. We'll show you how to get good numbers out of it. We'll show, like, first rule of thumb is with P&Ls. It has to be organized correctly to get good data out of it. You have to understand the good data versus the bad data, and then you have to understand how to change the data, right? Yeah. If you're spending too much on marketing, you have to understand how to trim that down. If you're labor is not hitting your P&L in the right spots, it makes it impossible. That's bad data. It makes it impossible to learn where the problem is. Why is your business not profitable? Right.
Yeah, I think people get really confused by what we call the hidden numbers. Oh, why is it on my balance sheet, not my P&L?
Right.
Why are my wages here and all my employees' wages are here?
Right.
Why?
Or why are they all in the same spot when they shouldn't be?
Yeah. And then all of those hidden numbers and percentages they get to be, like, let's be honest, it can be overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
You know, for the first 6 months, you're trying to figure all that shit out and decipher it all, and none of it fucking makes sense. And so you literally waste 6 months trying to figure it out when, and I don't want this to be like a pitch, but we could help you in 1 month.
Yeah.
Have it straight. You bail. See ya.
We literally
need something else. Fucking call us.
We have a Tradewinds customer that we were on a call with recently. They've been in business for a long time. Good business. Good upstanding business.
Making a lot of money.
Their P&L is not organized all that great, and it hasn't ever been. And we got them to, or it wasn't atrocious, but we suggested about 5 changes to their P&L to just get it organized a little bit better. And then once it's organized in this fashion, we were able to give them like red, yellow, and green points. If this number is over this, that's in the red. We're spending way too much. If this number is in this range, that's in the yellow. We're on the high side of normal, but it's doable.
Keep an eye. Let's see what happens.
And then if this number is green, that's good, right?
Roll, dog.
And we use the red, yellow, green stoplight reference because we only stop on red, right? We drive through the stoplight on yellow and green, but yellow, we know that there's a hazard.
Yeah,
we're running out of time.
Sometimes on red.
Right? And so,
if you ride with Mitch, any.
So yeah, sometimes. It's pink. It's never red. It was yellow to red. It's like a pinkish color. It's like an orange.
I saw them both on.
Yeah, they were both there. But so within like a couple of changes of their P&L, now once we understand a P&L, and then we can start looking at like your key performance indicators, which there is an entire episode in episodes 1 through 9 where we talk about key performance indicators and how to track what you're doing in business. When you align your KPIs, key performance indicators, with your profit and loss statement, your P&L, when you align all that together, now we have all the information we need to make massive decisions in business in an instant that will forever better your business.
Yeah.
And so those are the types of things that you learn by being in Tradewinds. That's the type of implementation that you're paying for in Tradewinds. And the way that we have Tradewinds set up is there's 3 different membership levels inside of Tradewinds. Membership level 1 is all group-related stuff, and it runs $249 a month, but you get access to all the implementation. It's just in a group setting. It'll be either in group video calls. It'll be in group Facebook, we have a private Facebook group with only Tradewinds members in it. And so you can throw out information, you can throw out questions in the Facebook group, you can ask questions on the group calls, and you're going to get the answers. The problem is you're just sharing your time, effort, and attention with the rest of the group.
I wouldn't say that's a problem.
It's not a problem.
You know
it's
what I mean?
It's just that is the caveat to that group.
Yeah, if you're a very private person, like guys will find that unnerving.
Yeah.
Most of them do not, though.
Yeah,
they don't mind.
Some people don't want to admit in a group that they don't know the first thing about a profit and loss statement. And so they would that's where they would join the next level. Or some people know that they have enough problems in their business that I don't need a 1-hour group call. I need David and Mitch's time, effort, and attention for 1 straight hour
step by step. Like,
and
let's
so,
go. Yeah.
So next level up, we call it, so the bottom level of Tradewinds, we call it the crew level. The next level up, we have the captain's level. And the captain's level runs $5.99 a month. And you get everything that you get in the crew level. You get all the group stuff. You get everything. But then you also get a private 2-on-1 coaching call with just David and me and you. So it's David and I. That's the 2. And you are the 1.
Or your CSR or your office manager or whoever you want from your business can be on.
Yes. The 1 is your business. It's not you as an individual. And so if you want to have a private coaching call with like your CSR team and you and David and I, then we can do a CSR training on that call. We can train your CSRs exactly how to answer phones.
Sales training.
Right?
With your crew. Whatever.
Sales training usually takes a lot
a
more than
tougher.
A 1-hour call.
Yeah.
But we do offer sales training a la carte, by the way. We're going to get to that part later. But essentially, so like if you want your financial person, your bookkeeper on a call, and you want this call to be all about the books, cool. Bring your bookkeeper on. So it's your business. That's the 1, and David and I are the 2. So 2-on-1. It's David and I with your business and whoever from inside your business you want. So if you want your lead plumber, your field manager, or whatever, cool, bring them on. Level 3 is you get everything that you get in level 2, which is what you got in level 1, plus the private coaching call. Only level 3, you get 2 private coaching calls. We're going to meet with you every 2 weeks. And so you get 1 hour of David and I's attention every 2 weeks to dive in on your business. Now, how this typically plays out. Tradewinds runs
every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Tradewinds runs month to month. And we do this for a very specific reason, and it's because we actually value our clients. Most of these coaching and mentorship companies that do this, they make you sign a one-year contract, very similar to marketing agencies. They make you, if they sign a one-year contract, if you have to hide behind a one-year contract, chances are your coaching probably isn't that good, is the way that I look at it.
Agree 100%.
And so what we do is we put ourselves in a position where we have to earn your business every month. And if we drop the ball and we don't give you the attention that you felt you needed, and we don't give you the nuggets of information that you felt you needed, and you didn't get the value for your month's membership this month, you may be sitting there with 1 foot out the door. And you could dip at any moment. It's month to month.
Dude, we've had guys sign up, cancel a week later, and what do we tell them? You still got your 30
days. You still have your 30 days. You will not be removed from the group group calls.
You mean you're not canceling? No. Look, dude, I've had this conversation with 20 or 30 guys over the last 4 years. Hey, look, your login still works.
Yeah.
Go on there, download all of the resources that we have before your 30 days is up, okay?
Yeah.
Don't short, you already paid.
Yeah.
Do it. Half the time they stay.
Yeah. And you know, half the time in the next 2 weeks they're like, tell you what, I'm not gonna back out. I'm gonna stay with it.
Yeah.
And so,
but if they do, no hard feelings, man.
No hard feelings. Right. The information is free. The implementation is going to cost you.
Yeah.
So now some other perks of being in Tradewinds. If you go to our website, winninginthetrades.com, there is a paywall on that website. That paywall is our members. And so once you become a member, you get logins and passwords to get behind the paywall. Once you're behind the paywall, we have a lot of free information that you can download and forever keep in your business. It's not even like you only have access with it for as long as you're a member. It's yours forever.
Yeah.
We give you KPIs to monitor your technician's performance. We give you monthly team, I call them a huddle sheet. And it's basically a monthly projection of your monthly performance of the company so that you can know by April 10th, you can know what we're projecting for April. And you can know if we're ahead of the curve or behind the curve. And you can know if we're pacing ahead of the curve, cool. What can I be spending my money on that I'm going to have at the end of this month if we stay on this course? Or if you're behind the curve, it gives you a 20-day heads up to what do I need to be not paying at the end of this month, or what do I need to be skimping on because we're going to have a light month?
Yeah, do I need to put off my parts bill?
Right. Do I need to put off a parts bill? Do I need to wait to buy that van? Do I need to wait to put the down payment down? All of those things. So we give you that. Other things that we give you. We give you we call it a 5-day call board. It's for your customer service reps and your management team to communicate scheduling availability every day. And it tapers off over the 5 days. There's a whole video that, like everything that we give you, we have a video to teach you how to use it. There's a lot of other things that we give you in there. We have calculators to help figure out your hourly rate. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the calculators that are out there to figure out your hourly rate are complete bullshit because they're going to be like, oh, well, you figure out your direct cost of services plus your labor plus your profit and plus your overhead. Well, if you don't know what any of that shit is, then that calculator is useless.
Yeah.
If you don't know what your overhead is, it's useless.
Yeah.
So our calculator actually walks through you with your P&L and a couple of other information, pieces of information, and it tells you what all that stuff is. It's like a calculator within a calculator.
Well, it tells you where to get the information and why the information is what it is.
Yeah.
And why we need it.
And so, again, implementation costs, right? And so you could listen to all the free advice for how to determine your hourly rate, but if you don't know how to apply it, it doesn't change anything. We have one client that's over $1.5 million a year in revenue, and we just walked them through modifying their hourly rate. And they were really pricing themselves too cheap for their size and for their market. And so
it's killing their net profit percentage.
We actually ran through two scenarios. One of them said they needed to increase their hourly rate by about $150 a month. Another scenario, just taking a different time sample where they had already made some corrections. Another scenario said they only needed to increase their hourly rate by $25 an hour. And so we found what worked for them, something good in the middle that worked for them. It's a unique case for them. But that's the implementation that you get when you have those private two-on-one calls.
Yeah.
How it plays out typically is if you're brand new in business, a lot of people are going to join in at the crew level, and they're going to learn how much information I can get out of Tradewinds at the crew level.
And it's a lot of information.
It's a ton of information.
God, it's a lot of
information. Most people realize that, hey,
all of that.
Yeah, most people realize that, hey, at 1 to 3 guys, I don't need the higher levels. Now, maybe at 1 to 3 guys and I'm getting ready to explode to 5 to 6 guys. Well, maybe now you bump up in a level just so you can get some private coaching calls so that you manage that growth appropriately. Okay? I don't think we've ever had anybody stay at the captain's level membership where you get the admiral's level, the top level. I don't think we've ever had anybody stay there over a year, because let's be honest, with the crew level of Tradewinds, you get 6 group coaching calls a month plus the Facebook group.
That's
to
a lot.
Add on 2 more private calls, we're now 8 Zoom calls a month plus the Facebook group. Most people can't implement change that fast.
And so
they're in that for a little bit to triage a problem in their business. Maybe it's, yeah, hey, I'm losing money left and right, and I need 2 calls a month to stop the bleeding. And we stop the bleeding, and they go right back down to the captain's level, 1 call a month.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're at the crew level, and they're getting no private calls, and they're like, hey, I want to grow. I want to add 3 trucks. And so we jump up to the captain's level, and we strategize with them 1 call a month for 3 to 5 months. And now that they have all the information they need, they go right back down to the crew level. So there's perks to not having contracts, and all those perks serve our clients. None of them serve Tradewinds. Tradewinds would make twice the money it does if we made people sign annual contracts. But we actually care about our clients.
I don't.
So we don't.
I hate the no responsibility.
Yeah.
On our part.
Yeah.
Like if I get you to sign up for 6 months, I've sold you.
Yeah.
I don't have to sell you anymore.
Yeah.
Like you were saying before, now every month we got to sell.
Yeah.
And not sell in a bad way, but
we have to provide value.
I have to make it worth your time and your money to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And if I don't and you leave, that's on me, dog.
It's very similar to athletics. If I'm a receiver on a football team and I go out there and I drop all 5 targets to me.
Next week you ain't
starting,
bro.
Do you think
bro?
I'm starting next week? Probably not. I have to earn my position every time, right? Yeah. So we do have an annual option. And if you're perusing our website, you're going to see an annual option on there. And it's not a contract. It's just,
if you want to do it,
it's an annual option. Now, I discourage everybody, every new incoming member to Tradewinds.
Yeah.
I tell every single one of them, do not do the annual option. Where the annual option comes in is it's a little bit of a discounted service, right? It's basically 10 months.
You get 2 months free.
Yeah, it's 2 months free.
Yeah, it's 2 months
free. So buy 12 months up front, you get 2 months free.
If you've been in Tradewinds for a few months and go, you know what? It's the end of the year. I got to scrub money. I know I'm going to commit to this. Then you sign up for the year.
That's
the only...
The end of the year tax savings is literally the only reason we brought on the annual option.
Yeah, that's for the guys.
For our members that love the Tradewinds, love the program, they ain't going anywhere. They're vetted. They love it. But they're getting to the end of the year, and their accountant's saying, you're going to have to pay tax on all this profit unless you can find ways to spend it on. Well, you can pre-buy next year's membership on this year's taxes and write it all off, and you save... About, what would that be? 16%? It's about a 16% discount, 15-16% discount.
Yeah,
by pre-buying all of it.
Yeah, $500 at the crew, $1,200 at the captain.
Yeah.
And then what would that be?
Yeah, you're saving $500 a year at the crew level. You're saving $1,200 a year at the captain's level. And you're saving $2,400 a year at the top level.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of jack. It's a lot of cheddar, as they say.
Some other things that we do within Tradewinds is we will build a sales process for your... You don't even have to be a member for this. We will build a sales process for your company, and we will teach your company how to use the sales process. We can do it either virtually or in person. And the in-person obviously is a lot more effective because technicians and field personnel have very short attention spans, and they typically don't like looking at a Zoom screen for 4 hours. And so we would much rather go in person, and we train in the morning, and then we ride with your techs in the afternoon, and then we dip out. So
Mitch loves that. Like, let's be honest.
It's kind of
my
niche.
Favorite part, dude.
Yeah. So how this works is we work with you like long before we train. We work with you to learn the attributes of your company. We learn what makes your company unique. We learn what things your company needs to bring on into its portfolio before your guys can even really maximize a sales training. And so we get all of that set up first, and then we train your team, we implement it, and then we follow up with you to make sure things are working. One other service that we offer is like a complete business makeover. David and I will literally fly out to your company in person. We will train your sales team on how to sell, but then also we will spend time in the office working your P&L in person,
yeah,
working with your office staff in person, changing up your business flow so it's more efficient. And that service may seem kind of pricey up front, but we are doing you a disservice if you don't profit enough to pay for that service within the first 30 days after our on-site visit. So your profit,
yeah,
should increase by the amount of that service within the first 30 days, which means within a year of us visiting your business, you should see an 11x return on your investment in that area. So by the time you bolt on the things that we tell you to bolt on, by the time you change little processes that stop waste and stop...
Oh, the waste, dude. Oh, man. That is one of the number one things that we deal with.
And it's not wasting dollars. It's wasting time, too.
Yeah.
And it's wasting employees, because sometimes you may have a process that is causing turnover in your company. And so now you're wasting training time and wasting good employees. And so we solve those processes, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, literally, your business will see, we would consider it a failure if your business didn't see an increase in profit, the cost of that service. Now, those are a la carte. They're kind of a call for pricing thing. The sales trainings are not a la carte. Those prices are published on the website, and it's two different options for virtual versus in-person. The in-person one is a la carte because we have to factor our travel expenses in there. Thankfully, our travel expenses are fairly fixed because we're in Kansas City, so it's not like we're looking at, you know, we can pretty much look at the extremes. But it is what it is. But the complete business makeover side of things, that is an a la carte service because we have to kind of know what we're getting into first before we can price it out. That tells us how many days we're going to be there and all of that kind of stuff. But we talk about trade wins a lot in this show, but it's always vague. We never really talk about like what we actually do in trade wins. And so this was your kind of, I mean, call it a sales pitch for if you want, but basically we're doing you a service as a listener to this show to know there is much more out there than just the information. There's implementation. And the way that we look at Tradewinds is, like, I kind of have a tagline for Tradewinds, and that's share successes and trade wins. And the reason why is because we're helping all the members fail faster. We're taking our experience of running our own service companies and sharing that information with you guys so that you can fail faster. David and I were talking about before the show, the new ownership group of my company. They are going through a long, slow process of learning a failure right now, and it's the way they have to learn. I cannot take the position with this new ownership group of saying it's my way or the highway. And I also, when they do learn the slow way, I can't take the position of I told you so. And so I have to work them through an exercise of like, I'm going to let you guys learn the long, painful way of this is what happens when you do this, and now you know firsthand why it works. That builds, yeah, credibility to me, to the ownership group, so that they will now take my advice on the first dose in the future because they see that it actually comes from a rooted place of good theory and good practice. I've done it the wrong way, so I know how to avoid doing it the wrong way. And right now, they're tipping their toe in a couple of wrong ways, and I'm letting them experience it firsthand. And it's an exercise in trust, and it's an exercise in
trust,
in ethics.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah, but but essentially, in business, it's not about who's right; it's about what's right. And so it's not about I told you so. It's not about I told you not to do that. It's not about I warned you about this. It's about, you know, I seem to remember a conversation where we talked about this and we talked about these hazards, and look, the hazards that we talked about are showing themselves. So next time we need to trust those conversations a little more. That's how you handle that. You're gonna burn your bridges with people if you say, I told you so. I warned you about this. Listen to me next time. I, me, I'm right. That's how you burn bridges with employees. That's how you burn bridges with co-owners and everything else. And so as you are teaching your team, make sure that you're looking at things from a we scenario instead of an I scenario, and make sure that you're looking at things of failing faster. Because in the end, education is expensive. I can spend money and go to college and lose out on my working time, and it's costly. Yeah. Or I cannot go to college and I can learn from the school of hard knocks, which means I make bad investments, I make bad financial decisions, I make bad fires. There is no such thing as a bad hire, by the way. Bad hires are totally a thing, but there is no way to prevent bad hires. None of you in listening to the show, myself included, are good at hiring. Stop thinking you are. You're not. The skill is in the firing. The skill is in recognizing a bad hire fast and firing them fast. So I go by a philosophy of hire fast, fire fast. I'm going to hire you based off of what you claimed in the interview. I'm going to fire you based off of where I now know you were lying in the interview.
Yeah.
Is exactly how it is.
Yeah.
And in today's day and age, with ChatGPT and everything else, you can't trust a resume. You can't trust a career background. You can't trust anything they say in the interview. But you can hold them accountable to it once they work for you.
Yeah.
And then you just turn around and fire them real quick.
Dude, you lied straight to my face.
Yeah.
You can't do any of this stuff.
You said you were going to be a $1 million sales guy, and you're not.
See ya.
You're gone. You said you knew how to put in water heaters. Well, you've gone on 3 callbacks and 3 water heaters. You're gone. You said you were great at customer service, and I'm staring at 4 customer complaints. You're gone.
Yeah.
Right? So you said you keep your truck. Your truck's the cleanest in the company, and I'm looking at the nastiest fucking truck I've got. You're gone.
Is that a McDonald's wrapper? Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah.
You fat ass.
So, but that's essentially what you get through Tradewinds is you get implementation, and we have it in some planned monthly group stuff. We have it in some planned monthly one-on stuff. But we also have it in some one-off applications where it's a la carte, sales trainings, complete business makeovers, and all of that stuff. So if you think this is a pitch fest and this upset you that we were pitching Tradewinds the whole time, just stop listening to the show.
Or join Tradewinds and find out if it's true or not and then call us out on it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, good luck calling us out because not anybody.
That's my point.
That is one thing that David and I are very, very, very proud of. Is we do not have a single former member of Tradewinds that would say a single bad thing about us.
No.
We provide value until we are blue in the face.
I want to add one thing. You didn't mention events, but we've talked about the events that we host on here all the time. Some of them are public, some of them are private. That's not what I want to go into. The relationship that the guys build inside of the group is probably, I don't want to say impressive, but more important than what we can implement for everyone. It is amazing to me, the camaraderie in the group, the one-off conversations that those guys have with each other,
yep.
The, hey, can you help me with this problem? Can I call you? Yeah, of course you can call me. The amount of help that they give each other inside of that group,
yep.
let's be 100% honest. You and I never thought in 100 years that would be part of any of our pitches, of any of our conversations. We had no idea the effect that the members would have on each other.
Yeah, side chats that go on in the group are so wholesome.
It is amazing to me how much they lean on each other and grow from each other.
Yep.
Not just from being in Tradewinds.
Yep.
Or not so much as being in Tradewinds for us,
right,
or our conversations, but their own conversations.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I am blown away constantly when I hear things like, oh, Aaron called me and we worked through this and we worked through that. Dude, why didn't you call me? No, we got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Like it is.
That's part of what you're paying for. You're paying for the network of Tradewinds members as
culture,
well.
The culture in that group amongst those men is, I say men, there are women in the group too, but It is amazing to me.
Yeah. So playing on that network thing, we're all part of Facebook groups, and Facebook groups are freaking cutthroat, right? And the challenge with a lot of Facebook groups is people think the whole idea of Facebook groups is to rib and troll and razz people instead of actually help people build something great.
Yeah.
And so let's say you're a new plumber and you just started your company and you're asking guys for help on pricing. You're going to get answers from 1,000 people you don't know that you can't vet.
Yeah, I haven't vetted.
And half the answers you're going to get are like, learn to be a plumber, learn to be a businessman, you know, blah, blah, blah.
What do you mean you don't know your break-even number? What, are you stupid? You shouldn't have been in business to start with.
Right.
Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that? That don't help anybody.
Right. None of that happens in Tradewinds. Tradewinds is a group of only trades-based business owners that only want everybody else to succeed, including themselves. If anybody ever replied to somebody's inquiry with that kind of measure,
see you, dog.
They wouldn't make it 2 hours in Tradewinds.
We've kicked one person out in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's it. One.
They would not make it anywhere. We don't allow that shit. No. And so here's the nice part about it. Is you guys know my stance on anonymous posts. I don't allow them in any group I control. You wouldn't need an anonymous post in Tradewinds because there's nothing you're afraid to hide your identity over.
No.
You would just ask it. And you're going to get, like, if people don't have the answer, they're going to tag somebody that they may think has the answer. Or they're going to
open dialogue about, hey, let's try to work through it.
Yeah. They're going to work through it. Or they're just not going to comment. They're going to say, I don't know the answer, but I kind of like to know the answer. So
we get a lot of followings.
Yeah, I'm in to just find the answer too. I don't know this. And I didn't even know this was a problem until somebody asked this question.
Yeah.
So that's the type of stuff that you want in a Facebook group. It's good, wholesome growth. No ribbing. Like, there is a little bit of ribbing, but it's not business to business.
No.
So for instance, we have one member.
Ray telling me to fuck off every time.
Yeah, we have one member that will always tell Dave to fuck off. And he even came to our last event wearing a shirt that says "Fuck you, Dave" on it. So
he made a it's 2x3 poster board that says "Fuck you, Dave" and signed it. You know where it is? I framed it. It's in your office. I framed it and it's behind my fucking desk.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
I love everything
about
it.
That's the kind of camaraderie that you're going to get inside of Tradewinds. You're not going to get this hatred. You know, unfortunately, Facebook groups are full of people that are mad and that are angry and that they're just taking their anger and their unpleasant life out on everybody else in the world. Yep. You don't get that here.
Nah.
If we saw that and it's out of the blue from a guy that we wouldn't expect it from, we would first remove it. And we're going to be like, bro, what's going on? Like, you got some shit going on to answer like that.
I'm
going to
kill everyone in the room. Okay. Yeah. I got you, dog.
Let's call him up. But outside of that, like, that stuff just doesn't happen because everybody wants everybody to win in our group. And one last thing I'll say is we do not section, there's no markets for Tradewinds. We have like 5 Tradewinds members in Omaha, Nebraska.
And guess what?
They don't think of each other as competition.
Guess what? Those 5 guys run that market.
Yeah. They own the market in Omaha. It's freaking awesome.
They run fucking market, bro.
They share work with each other. They share tips and tricks with each other.
Yeah.
They'll get a bad customer, and next thing you know, they're texting all their Tradewinds buddies like, watch out for Martha Smith on Elm Street. She doesn't pay her bills. No, Martha Stewart. Yeah.
Sorry.
But Tradewinds members share a lot of work with each other. They share tips and tricks and advice. And there is no market exclusivity because the only person you're in competition with is the person in the mirror. You're not in competition with the company down the street.
There's plenty of work, plenty of leads.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's an iconic photo out there of Michael Phelps winning one of his gold medals. And there's a guy at about his shoulder. So Michael Phelps has got like a 2-foot lead on this guy. Michael Phelps, his head is out of the water, and he's staring at the finish line. His competition, who's losing, his head's out of the water, and he's staring at Michael Phelps. Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners.
Yeah.
So where you focus, you end up going. And because losers aren't focusing on winning, they're focusing on winners, they usually end up working for the winners. I hate to say it, but it is what it is.
No, you don't. You love to say it.
So winners keep winning, and losers work for winners.
That's right, man.
It just is what it
is. Winners
win,
dog.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Thank you.